You're listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we're certainly thankful that you are a part of our congregation. We invite you to stay with us, trusting that the Lord will be able to use our broadcast to be a blessing to your spiritual life. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful that we have the privilege of visiting these people in our congregation today, wherever they may be throughout the world. We are thankful for each one who is tuned our way. We're trusting that you'll take this broadcast and that you'll use it to your honor and to your glory. We are so thankful for your love that brought your dear Son into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, and we're thankful that He died for all. So bless this congregation today, and may the Holy Spirit use it to your glory and to their good. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have made my choice forever to mix this world.
This world with all its strength.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Five Godly Mothers. I will read a number of verses from the 31st chapter of Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, we've just heard a selection about Jesus, the sweetest of them all, or sweeter than them all. And certainly, we do believe that the name Jesus is the sweetest of all. But when it comes to us in the English world, among the English language, we usually think, or some of us at least, usually think of the name Mother as being the sweetest of them all. Not every mother lives up to the standard that the Bible sets for mothers, but thank the Lord for those that are endeavoring to do so. So I would like to speak in regard to five mothers we read of in the book of, in the Bible. First of all, Jochebed. Now, who was Jochebed? Well, Jochebed was the wife of Amram and the mother of Aaron and Miriam, and the one that we know as Moses. Pharaoh, because of the increase of the Hebrews, ordered that all male Hebrew children born should be slain. He was afraid that if an enemy invaded his land, that the Hebrews would side with the enemy to help conquer the land. And so he made this decree. But there was a couple there that did not fear the king's commandment, Amram and Jochebed. Whenever this one that we know as Moses was born, she saw that he was a goodly child, as the scriptures speak of him. And we can see her concern, although she did not fear the wrath of the king, she did have a concern for the life of this little one. And she was determined to do what she could to see to it that he was not put to death. And so she hit upon a plan. Possibly the Lord put it in her mind. She made a little ark, and she made it waterproof. And she took this little one, after he was 3 months old, and put him in this ark, and then put him on the edge of the Nile River among bulrush. And she instructed her sister, or his sister rather, to watch for him. And I'd like to take a moment and speak in regard to Miriam, because she was an obedient child, which again is commendable to the mother, and doubtless the father too, because she had been taught to be obedient. And so she was instructed to stand quite a ways away off to see what happened to this little one that was in the ark in the bulrushes. And here came the princess from the palace down to bathe. Now this quite possibly was some religious form that she was following, for I'm sure that they had swimming pools somewhere near the palace where she lived. But she and her maidens came down to the edge of the river, and she saw this little ark out there, and she had one of her maidens to go to look at it. And when they opened it, she recognized it as one of the Hebrew children. And about that time, here came Miriam up to speak to the princess. And she asked, "Would you like for me to get a nursemaid for the little one?" And so she did. And you don't have to have two guesses to find out or to know where Miriam went to get a nursemaid for this little baby. She went home and got her mother. And the mother came, and lo and behold, this shows what God can do. He moved upon her not only to spare the baby's life, but she turned that little one over to his mother. No, she didn't know it was his mother, but she turned that little one over to his mother. And not only that, but she said, "I will pay you for taking care of him." Yes, Pharaoh, instead of killing or having this one killed, was going to pay for him to be trust kept until he was weaned and old enough to turn over to the princess. And so this joyous mother took this little one home, and she taught him the truths of God, the true and the living God. They think that a child was weaned around the age of 7 back in those biblical times. If so, this mother had this little one for 7 years, and she filled his heart and his mind with the truth of the gospel. Yes, the truth of the gospel. And whenever he reached legal age 40, the Bible tells us that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What a precious mother he had to take him, to teach him, to train him in such a way that he would make such a wise choice. And I'm sure that if the man Moses was to appear on this broadcast, he would tell you, I do not regret the decision that I made. Now, the second one is the lady or wife that was known as Hannah. She was the mother of Samuel. Now, first of all, let us look at Elkanah, her husband. Elkanah had two wives, and one of them was Phinehas, and the other one was Hannah. Now, Phinehas was a woman who was able to bear children. In fact, she had a number of children. But Hannah was barren, and it's evident from the scriptures that Phinehas made fun of Hannah because she was unable to bear children. In fact, she doubtless tormented her over that. And so Elkanah loved his second wife, or his first wife, whichever one she was. Anyway, he loved her with a special love, and that is also made evident by the scriptures. And this family was a God-fearing family, at least the Elkanah and Hannah was. I don't know about the other wife. But anyway, they went up to Shiloh once a year. Shiloh at that time was where the Ark of the Covenant was, and it was a religious center for the nation of Israel at that time. And on this particular occasion that I want to refer to, when they went up to Shiloh, Elkanah took along, of course, things for them to offer, and he gave the children of Phinehas and Phinehas herself, he gave them a portion to give to in an offering to the Lord. But he gave Hannah a special portion. But Hannah was so burdened that she did not eat. And Elkanah came to her and asked her, why aren't you eating? And she let him know what her heart's burden was. And he said, am I not worthy? I love you more than I do anyone else. I should be worthy of you, even of 10 sons. Well, regardless of how loving and how gentle Elkanah was with Hannah, he was not her son. He was her husband, and she wanted a son, and she was praying to that end. And to please her husband, she went on and ate some. But after she had eaten, she was praying. And Eli, the priest there at Shiloh, saw her, and he didn't have much spiritual discernment, because he saw her lips moving, but no sound coming out of her mouth, and he judged her to be drunken, and he rebuked her for it, and she assured him that she was not drunk. She was a woman who was troubled and concerned, and who had a sincere desire. She wanted a son, and she wanted him so much that she told the Lord that if he would give her a son, that she would give him back to the Lord as long as he lived, and no razor would come upon his head. In other words, he was to be a Nazarite all his life. O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto thee, Lord, all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. So we read in 1 Samuel 1 and 11. And before the next year, before they went to Shiloh, she had her son. And so she didn't go to Shiloh at that time. She stayed home with her little one. And again, I'm assuming that she was able to keep her son for 7 years until he was weaned. And whenever he was old enough, Hannah kept her promise to the Lord. And she took him to Shiloh, and she left him there. Yes, she left him with the high priest there at Shiloh. And every year she would take him a new coat. And she had only a very short time to have contact with him after she had taken him to Shiloh and left him. But she had done a wonderful job in teaching him the truth of God during those few years that she had him. And whenever he got about 12 years of age, he heard the voice of the Lord calling him. At that time, he did not recognize it. And he went to Eli saying, "You called me." And Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." And he went back and he lay down, and he heard a voice calling him again, "Samuel." And he went back to Eli and he said, "You did call me." And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you." But about the third time, Eli finally woke up to the fact that it was the Lord that was calling him. And so he said that, "If you hear that voice again, you say, 'Here am I, Lord, speak.'" And of course the Lord did speak to him. And even in his youthful days, all Israel knew that God has his hand upon him. And as Samuel was one of the greatest, they say he was the last judge of Israel and the first prophet. And I say he was one of Israel's greatest prophets. And the mother and the father, too, did an excellent job in filling his heart with the fear and the love of Almighty God. Now, the third one that I want to mention was Sarah. Now, you know her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah because the name Sarah meant that she was to be the mother of nations. Every time someone called her Sarah, or any time she introduced herself as Sarah, then she was expressing her faith and confidence in Almighty God. God gave Abraham the promise when he was 75 years of age, and Sarah was 65. And when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, the promise was fulfilled and Isaac was born. Isaac was taken up on the mount to be offered unto God, and that makes Abraham a type of God and Isaac a type of Jesus Christ. For God gave his only begotten Son to die for us. And Isaac was a type of Christ who died on the cross to redeem us from our sins. And Hagar, who Abraham had taken at Sarah's suggestion, was a type of the old covenant with her son Ishmael. But Sarah and her son Isaac was a type of the new covenant, so we are told in the book of Galatians. Now the fourth mother I want to mention was to be honored greatly because she was to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which was to be born of her was to be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. How could this be, seeing that I know not a man? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of God shall move upon you. And that which shall be conceived in your womb shall be the Son of the Highest. And we know that she was the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, our Savior, and the only Savior this old world has. Now, the fifth one is Eunice, the mother of Timothy. His mother was Jewish, and his father was Gentile, but that did not keep Eunice from teaching him, for Paul later said of Timothy that he had known the Scriptures from his youth. So Eunice did an excellent job. It is supposed that Timothy was converted during Paul's first missionary journey, and then at his second missionary journey, he asked Timothy to become a part of his missionary group. And Timothy proved to be one of Paul's most faithful workers and laborers. So Eunice did an excellent job in teaching Timothy the things of God, and he was a very faithful servant of the Most High God and one of the most dependable workers that the Apostle Paul had. May God bless all of our precious mothers, especially those who are faithfully endeavoring to rear their children for the Lord. Father, we do thank you for these godly examples, and we thank you for the godly mothers that we have in our nation and world today, and may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon them in a special way. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, and we invite you to write us and let us know that you hear and appreciate our program. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, and our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage, and you can also join us in our services. Sunday morning service, 20 minutes before 11. Sunday evening service at 6. Our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to tune in next week when, again, the Lord willing, we will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.